Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us this afternoon. Our number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. It's great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Obviously, it is the first full day since the sanctions were handed down yesterday. Bill O'Brien was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier on WKOK. He also held a teleconference this afternoon with the media, and he'll be at the Big Ten Media Day this week. He'll do a series of interviews coming up on Thursday and Friday. He says he's committed to staying, he's committed to these players, and that the toughest part of the sanction is the ability to allow players to transfer. Now remember, if they transfer to another school, they can play right away, and number two, they do not count against the 85 scholarship limit this year at that school. They would be considered part of next year's recruiting class for that school, and they're allowed to transfer within the conference as well. So far, what I am understanding is that certain players, Michael Motti, has said he's staying. It is my understanding that Jordan Hill is staying, that Eric Shrive said he's staying, Gary Gilliam said he's staying. It's my understanding is that Silas Redd, despite all of the incredible interest around him, and you would, of course, not doubt there's incredible interest around him, but evidently Silas Redd wants to stay. So that is where we are. At this particular stage. But Bill O'Brien held his teleconference earlier today. And he keeps telling Bill O'Brien, the players, why they came to Penn State. They're going to continue on TV, and that was the part I emphasized heavily yesterday. The television component is the biggest component out of all of this. That is the plus of this. If they were knocked off TV, I think the door would have swung wide open. As players want to be able to showcase their ability, you know, I mean, a guy like Silas Redd's a next-level running back. He wants to be able to tell them that. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. Don't forget, you can go to lenapesolar.com. Today we're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. And also, don't forget about Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Doug is our next caller. Doug, good afternoon. Thank you for being with us, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, Doug. Thank you.
Hey, I listened to your I can't get your program live, but I listened to the program yesterday. And I need a question answered. I understand in the free report it was basically one-sided. Joe's, of course, has passed. We'll never really get his side of it. Sandusky, he was an ex-employee at the time. I basically need one question answered of why didn't Joe go to the police when the second incident happened in 2001?
I don't know. I think the only answer I have for that is that because you have to remember Mike has admitted that when he told Joe, Mike McQuarrie has admitted that when he told Joe, he really gave him a far more vanilla, I guess for a better term, version of what went on as to what he saw. So Joe took that information, and then Joe did what you're supposed to do legally. You're supposed to move it up the chain of command. The athletic director is his boss, so he took it to Tim Curley, and then Tim Curley and Gary Schultz took it from there. So that's why he did it, because Jerry, number one, at that moment in 2001, Doug, was a retired employee. So the person that in the room, when Mike tells Joe, the person in the room that is actually supposed to go to the police is Mike. Mike was the witness. Okay, but Joe, in terms of internal, took it up to the chain of command to Tim, which is the policy at most companies across the world. It's the policy at Penn State. It's the policy at most companies. And again, Jerry is a retired employee, so Joe has no jurisdiction over Jerry. In fact, Jerry doesn't even have an office in the building.
I hear what you're saying, but that's, I mean, common sense was this was the second time within a span of, what, 4 or 5 years. I mean, I just, that's the whole thing in this. I just cannot wrap my mind around that Joe would not go more. I know he put out the statement, you know, last fall about he wished he had done more, but that's, did he ever bring it up with you or talk to you about anything like this, like in all the interviews, things like that?
No, the only thing he told me was that the only thing he told me is he never heard about 19. He did not know about 1998. He did tell me that.
Okay. Well,
but no, I mean, and he told me that point blank in December. He said, "Steve, I didn't even know about 1998." Well, if you don't know about if that is a fact, and that's where the free report is trying to delve into whether Joe knew about it in 1998 or not, and I've read it, and I've looked at the emails, and I can't tell. I know other people have jumped to the conclusion, but I know he told me he didn't know about it. That's the only time he ever talked to me about it. And when he did, that's what he said. Well, if you don't know about 98, then you get a plain vanilla story. You pass up the chain of command, especially when you have no jurisdiction over the employee.
All right. It was the second mile's responsibility, correct?
In the end, because, yeah, they're the employer, and they were informed.
One last thing. Back in 99, whenever Jerry retired, did Joe force him out, or was that legitimate about taking the early retirement?
Joe first broached the idea of retirement to Tim Curley in 1997 about Jerry. The reason being is that he was very concerned that he was spending far too much time with the second mile and not enough time doing his job at Penn State.
Okay.
So it was actually in 97 when it was first broached, based on notes that they have and so forth. So that was one of the things they tried to show in the free report, that there was no link. And that is one of the things that the free report did show, that there was no link between the retirement, because Joe had inquired about the process as early as 97.
Okay. All right.
And that's based on my reading of the free report. I didn't know that until I read the free report.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if they ever give a second side of the free report. I mean, they're taking that as gospel truth, which I know what the incident is, but, I mean, no one ever get Joe's side of it. So.
Well, you can't, and I think the most important thing is if you sit down and say Tim Curley testifies at his own trial, let's say he does, and we listen to all the answers, and if we hear the answers and sit back and go, oh, okay, then that brings a different perspective to it. If we listen to the answers and say, well, that matches up with what the free report said, then obviously everything we're hearing is justified. I think that's the fairest way to look at it.
Yeah, you're right. We'll just have to see what to say at the trials.
Yeah, that's all I'm waiting to hear, because I don't have any answers at all.
Okay.
I hope I did the best I could to answer your questions.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you always do, Steve.
Okay. All right, Doug. Bye. Thanks a lot. Next stop is Williamsport at 1-800-795-9565. Hello, Steve in Williamsport. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I just had a couple comments and a question about one of your callers yesterday. My comments are, I listened once in a while to the Alphabet Sports Channel on the radio, and they were running Penn State down, and, you know, they wanted the death penalty and this and that, and, you know, and paternal this and paternal that. And then after all those sanctions came down, now I hear for the last day and a half, they're telling all these young kids they ought to leave, they ought to, you know, get off as fast as they can and think about their future. And I thought, you know, what, you know, they have such a vendetta against Penn State, and I can't understand it sometimes, and they're just so jealous, I guess. But I don't know. That's the way it seems to me. I don't know if anybody else has the same situation. You know, think about it. You know, I'm tired of hearing about it, really, you know. And if the NFL, if they take a kid that sticks this program out or comes here, that ought to say an awful lot about their character. don't you think?
Does say a lot. It says an awful lot about the character of anybody who wants to stay, and any recruit that's made a commitment to Bill O'Brien wants to still be a part of it. That says volumes to all of you as Penn Staters. Your loyalty as a fan to the people that you see on the field, I think it should be tremendous. Because those are the players that looked at all of you and said, you know what, I'm sticking it out and I'm staying. And they deserve your support.
Oh, I 100% agree, and I hope I can support them, you know. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about, the caller you had yesterday, and I couldn't get to a phone, but he called and he put all the blame on poor Mike McQuarrie. Evidently, that guy, I don't know, I couldn't tell how old he was or what his situation is, but I'm thinking his life is so sculptured in such a way that he never had to make a decision in his life. And here was a young graduate assistant, and he walked onto a situation he would never have thought he would have run onto. And I don't know what I think he was in shock. And this poor guy, your caller, you know, he just run him down, as far as I'm concerned, left and right. And I thought, this man never had to make a decision, you know. And I just feel he's the one that's really, Mike McQuarrie has really taken the short end of the stick here, you know.
Well, Mike actually, in terms of, he right now is not working, so that's hard. He certainly has been the focal point of what's been going on in some ways, but we all know the focal point has been Joe Paterno more than anybody else in this. He's been the focal point more than anybody else. Mike was about 26, 27 at the time.
Oh, I didn't think he was that old.
But yeah, he was like 26, 27 at the time, right around that neighborhood. And certainly, I think all of us can say we would have done this. Okay.
Oh, that's from really the
outside. Quote from the outside going in, But when you're actually the person standing there, if we were actually standing there, I don't think any of us could have predicted what we would have or would not have done.
That
until
is
you're
so
actually,
correct.
If you're confronted with it, you're sitting there going, "Okay, you may do what you so boldly say you would do now." Or you may have sat back and went, "Oh my goodness," you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be critical of anybody because I've never stood in those shoes before.
No, I have never either. And would he come under the Whistleblowers Act?
Oh boy, I don't know. That's not my area of expertise. Bob Buhner, my good friend, who's going to be on the show. In fact, I have to call Bob this week. I've got to call Bob after the show today. But I'm going to try to get Bob. Well, I don't have to try to get Bob on the show. He's going to be on the show. He can answer that question better than I can. You know, I barely know I'm supposed to stop at that little red thing that says stop on it. So,
yeah.
Illegally.
Okay. Well, I would just thought, you know, I don't know if anybody else thought about it or said anything about it, but, you know how your mind works sometimes. You think, no, wait a minute. Why is this guy, you know, you know.
There's just so much that's been put into us and that's been overanalyzed left and right. And again, if I'm standing in his shoes that night, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how I would react. I would like to stand here and tell you how I would have reacted, but I don't know the reality of it.
I don't know whether you can comment on what I said about ESPN, you know, running them down, and now they're trying to talk everybody into leaving. You know,
Let me tell you something right now, Steve. You want to know what we're seeing, okay? We're seeing grandstanding and the loudest voice wins. And grandstanding is ignorant. I'm sick of grandstanding. Give me thoughtful, intelligent, okay, where you actually read, understand, perspective. I don't need grandstanding and screaming.
Amen to that. That's why I turn it off. You know, give me the facts. Let's deal with facts, you know. So, okay, Steve, wonderful show. I love it every day.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Greg in Sunbury at 1-800-795-9565. Greg, thanks a lot for your patience. I appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Hey, I was just wondering any thoughts the NCAA may have had on, one, overstepping their legal bounds, and two, the big issue that's going to open a new can of worms for them, probably legal worms, and since Penn State's board signed off on it too, is do they realize that invalidating all those wins from 1998 through 2011, they not only took the wins away from Joe Paterno, but they took the wins away from every single player that ever played on any of those teams. And so now a player in the pros who can look back on his college career and may or may not have had a championship with Paterno and Penn State, all of a sudden has nothing. Did the NCAA even consider the fact that wiping those wins out affects all of those people who had no involvement or knowledge of this? And are they facing legal scrutiny or legal liability on that for, you know, jeopardizing the careers and potential careers of, you know, ones that are graduating this year who had good records and, you know, all of a sudden now they're not going to be able to fall on that record for NFL eligibility and things like that?
Well, Greg, I don't know. I'm sure that when they sat down to put this together, they discussed it with legal counsel. I'm sure that they must have at some point to make sure that they felt that they were in the legal realm. When it comes to the wins part of it, you and I both saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We know he won 409 games,
mm-hmm.
for goodness sakes. All right? We know that. Everybody listening knows that. I just felt that that was one of those vindictive things in it that was unnecessary. I mean, it was vindictive.
The whole thing was vindictive.
And they have put, they decided to craft a penalty against Penn State where they did everything they could to allow Penn State to play but try to ensure losing. Now, Penn State can turn it around, I'm telling, and I think it's not going to turn out the way the NCAA thought it would, but it may be hard, but I think Penn State's going to win. And I just felt that that was just one of those slap things where, like, yeah, and one more thing, by the way, and then they're going to backhand you. You know, we all know what happened. I mean, Jack Ham called me yesterday, and Jack says, we never broadcast a win. I said, yeah, I know.
You know, and the whole thing of it is the NCAA really didn't do an investigation per their own rules.
No.
They didn't take and do anything according to their rules as far as having to do with things that occurred on the field. So in reality, they're probably totally outside their own realm of where their legal authority lies. And, you know, it's only going to take one good lawyer for somebody like the Paterno family or something like that, because, I mean, Joe will never be convicted. Let's face it, he's gone. So, you know, he's been criticized by a hired paid prosecutor for an institution to save its own face that used him as a scapegoat. And, you know, nothing will ever be proved in a court of law against him because, like I said, he's gone. So it's hearsay, and it's one-sided. And the NCAA takes the word of a paid, hired prosecutor on behalf of one individual, the entity known as Penn State, to take and knock Joe Paterno and all the rest along. I mean, they ought to take and give the statue back to the Paternos, pay all the money back that Paterno's paid to it, and they're going to start a drive out there to take and officially change the name to Paterno University of Pennsylvania instead of Penn State, because I think that's where it's going to end up in the long run. That's just my opinion.
I understand, Greg, and I think I'll have a better feel as to how I feel about everything once, if both Tim Curley and Gary Schultz testify and I listen to their testimony. That will then give me, I think, fill in all the blanks for me one way or the other, and that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the NCAA jumped the gun way beyond when they should have.
That went very fast.
Yep. Greg. Too fast.
Yep. Thank you, Greg.
Yep. Thank you.
Lenape Solar Hotline Cooking. We go to Dick in Milton next at 1-800-795-9565. Dick, I know you've been waiting for a while. I appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve. I've been listening to your show the last few days, obviously, and I'm, you know, to say that I'm upset about this whole Penn State situation would be less than honest with you, because I've gone to literally all of Joe's games. I've gone that long, and at the end of Rip Bangle's career. And just to make a couple points, and you, I don't know if you want to comment on this or not, but you know Joe is so old school and grew up so old school in Brooklyn. Do you think there's any possibility over the time that Joe really did not have a real grasp of what a pedophile actually did or was, and in his mind couldn't actually grasp the concept, and this is just me thinking about Joe and listening to him over the years, because don't misunderstand me. I don't mean he was naive. He just grew up in an era when this was really not something that people talked about or whatever. And just thinking about Joe over the years, I mean, I could envision him not really have a real grasp of this whole concept and maybe the gravity of this of a situation like that. That's just me thinking about him.
Well, again, Dick, I go back to what Mike has testified to before the grand jury and what Mike testified to in court at Jerry Sandusky's trial. And each time, the story that he told, Coach Paterno, was, and he admits, Mike admits he gave Joe a, quote, watered-down version. So remember, that's the version Joe was operating from.
Understand that.
So the idea of, am I dealing with a pedophile or not, because it's a watered-down version, may not have entered his head. I don't know. I cannot speak for him. I never spoke to him about it. So.
Okay. Well, several other points, and this is along the lines. First of all, I thought the NCAA, personally, I'm no lawyer. I'm no attorney. I know a little bit about the law. I think the NCAA overstepped their bounds with what they came down with. Because first of all, and I know this only because I heard it on Mike and Mike this morning, John, the guy from ESPN that's at State College.
John Barr. I talked to John the other night.
And he basically said that President Erickson and Dave Joyner were given no options, that basically if they didn't accept the sanctions as they were being handed down or presented to them, that basically they would suffer the death penalty in multiple years, up to 4 years, and that was their only other option. And this is the first time I've ever seen where there's not actually criminal charges against these people. Basically, they could not present any type of defense, and I don't even know that that's legal under the American legal system. I'm not sure why you can't. I just don't understand that in my mind. I can't grasp that.
Well, Dick, first of all, that's true. I did. In fact, I was the one that first mentioned it on the show yesterday.
I heard you say that.
Yeah, and I said that yesterday.
What you said,
and that they were given no option. In other words, what Dave Joyner's goal was, and he was involved as deep as he could be with the NCAA on this. Dave wanted to make sure that no matter what, football kept playing. And when they broached the subject of sanctions to Dr. Erickson and to Dave Joyner, I said, well, what about appealing this? Because, you know, one of the things about that's interesting about Southern California is they have sanctions, but they appealed it. And by appealing it, they bought themselves time, and now they've stockpiled recruits. See? That's how it works. That's how it works. Well, Penn State talked about appealing, and they were told if they appealed, they wouldn't give them those sanctions. They would death penalty them, then tack the sanctions on top of it. So Dr. Erickson and Dr. Joyner looked at each other and said, well, I guess we better take this. And if I'm sitting in that chair and I hear that, I make the same decision they did. So in terms of the legal part of it, what's interesting about the legal part of it is that the NCAA is basing its sanctions on the free report, which Penn State sanctioned.
I understand that.
And signed off on. So that's where it gets dicey, and Bob Buhner is better at that than I am, and that's why I'm going to beg Bob to be on the show tomorrow.
Well, just two other quick points, and one of them, this is the part that sure. gets me, is in whatever the year was when Attorney General at the time, Tom Corbett, and Ray mm-hmm. Greekbar, who's no longer with us, like Fenelec Joe,
right.
We're given information on Jerry Sandusky to bring a criminal indictment against him. They said there wasn't enough evidence, basically, and everybody pretty much kind of like, for whatever reason. But yet now we have Louis Free, who sits there and listens and observes the same information, and he has enough information, as far as I'm concerned, to almost bring the death penalty to Penn State football, with literally not a lot more than that. And can't understand in my mind how they couldn't find enough to bring one charges against somebody, but yet he can bring a whole program literally up to their knees with pretty much most of the same information.
We've watched it before our eyes, haven't we? We've watched it before our eyes, haven't we?
Well, I've seen that, and I know this is my last point, and I heard you yesterday, and I know that some of it's wishful thinking on your part. Don't take this the wrong way.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm trying to be a realist about Penn State football
sure.
and about what's going on here. and what these kids have an opportunity to do and not do in, for a long time. For a long time, we're looking at kids that they're not going to play in a bowl game, or not going to play for a championship for years and years. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, 4 years goes fast, but it's actually more than four when you look at when a kid can be recruited and going on from there. And now they're given this opportunity to leave Penn State and go somewhere where they can play. Obviously, the NCAA thinks that those schools offer them a lot better opportunity to get an education. I'm being somewhat facetious there. But I guess my other point is I can see a scenario where Penn State doesn't recruit the 4- and 5-star recruits, and they get kids that would never, ever have an opportunity to play football at Beaver Stadium. That's going to be some of the kids that they're going to end up with from now on. And I just can't envision people paying $400, $600 a seat plus $60 for a ticket to watch that level of football down the road. I could be wrong about that, but it takes a good product to get 100,000 people at Beaver Stadium every Saturday to watch a football game. You know, I mean, a lot of people came because of Joe. Joe's not there. There's X amount of people that you have to be realistic about went to Penn State football because of Joe Paterno. Now Joe's not there. So you have to eliminate some of those people. They got older. Some of those were old people. And mm-hmm. and now you end up with maybe a product that's not at the level that you're used to seeing over the years. And I'm thinking, man, oh, man, what if they only get X amount of people, I don't know if I won't throw a figure out there, who want to pay that kind of money to go watch the football that's going to be up there for a few years. And when other kids see this, they're going to go to another school. And this will be my last comment. I wish the NCAA was as damn strict about kids going to class and getting an education as they seem to be about worrying about Penn State, who had as good education as anybody at that level. And I'm not comparing them with Ivy League and that. I'm comparing mm-hmm. them to other Division I schools. And I hear those kids. You can hear them every Sunday being interviewed after pro football games. You know, they sure tell one Penn State graduates. And don't, if I'm frustrated and sound that, I sure am.
Well, you should be frustrated. You're entitled to be frustrated, Dick. I want to say this about the recruiting part of it. The recruiting part of it is difficult. But I have found it remarkable. Now, this is pre-sanctions. But despite everything that's happened and all the negative publicity Penn State has had since November 4th, that Bill O'Brien and his staff, just based on evaluations of people, had pulled together to this point a heck of a recruiting class. He must be really good, along with his staff, of selling a product and a message to these young people. And I'm not going to discount that, because I've already been taken aback as to how well they've done before this happened. Now, the big selling point for them at this moment is to keep who they have. And that means current players. And it's not just current players, but also at the same time, they need to keep the current recruiting class that they have for February 6th. They're working on that, and it's hard work, because the part that really threw Bill O'Brien a curveball, above all, was the ability to allow current players to transfer without sitting out a year. That's the part that threw him the biggest curveball of all that he's had to deal with that he didn't really expect to be dealing with. So I think he's been able to give whatever message to these prospective student athletes, before the sanctions, of course, that I have obviously found remarkable in his ability to recruit and sell this place to young people. Now, coming up in the 4 years, the February 6th group, say they were to redshirt, so that you put you on a 5-year clock, they would still be eligible in the final 2 years of their Penn State careers to play in a championship game or a bowl game if the record's good enough. The next group after that will then be on the clock where they'd have 3 years in their career where they can play in a championship game or a bowl game. And then that next group has 4 after that. So then you're starting to get closer to a normal clock in terms of what kind of postseason play these individuals can play in. It's the individuals right now on the football team that are going to be redshirt freshmen this year or true sophomores this year that know they'll never play in a bowl game again for Penn State. Those are the ones that never will. The recruits are not in that same boat.
Well, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Dick, please. My apologies.
Well, one of the things I was going to say is, as much as you know about football, college football and recruiting, one of the things that happens, and as well as Coach O'Brien and his staff's out there selling a product, and the product's going to change, obviously, for a few years, so they have a different selling focal point or different selling points. The coaches that they recruit against, whether it be Ohio State or whoever, Temple, I don't care who it is, yeah. or Rutgers or any Boston College,
sure.
those coaches, a lot of them, whether they're supposed to or not, are going to be downplaying and telling and pointing out all the bad things, more bad things about going to Penn State now than they could last week.
No question, but you know what, Dick? You want to know the biggest part of this that's Bill O'Brien's biggest ace in the hole? Is the TV part of it.
Yeah, he saved that.
Because Penn State was not knocked off TV. If you are a quarterback, a wide receiver, a running back, this guy has an offense that he will showcase that opens the door for you to the NFL. And if you don't think that is not a selling point, okay, because that's where these kids want to go. There isn't one kid that signs a letter of intent with a major college that doesn't think that's the next step to the NFL. And his offense, the way he plays it, is an NFL offense. And that is a big selling point to the people that you're talking about. Okay, to be honest with you, if you go to Ohio State, I mean, Braxton Miller is an outstanding runner. But in Urban Meyer's offense, when it comes to throwing the ball, he's going to struggle because he didn't throw the ball well enough. But you look at Penn State as to how they're going to play and the fact that you'll be able to see it is actually the plus in this that I'm still holding on to as a possibility.
You think the possibility, the only reason that they weren't banned from television, two things, the only two reasons were that they didn't want to seem to be penalizing Penn State's opponents, and they didn't want everybody to have to rely on listening to Steve Jones and Jack Ham on the radio.
Well, first of all, Mark Emmert sat down in Indianapolis,
yeah.
right? And when he came to the Steve Jones and Jack Ham part, he looked around the room. He says, look, don't you think the Penn State fans have suffered enough? Let them stay on TV. Okay? That's one. And number two, I think also because the contracts that have been negotiated by the Big Ten and so forth and the television money. See, Penn State's keeping its television money.
Right.
All $22 million a year. That's important. And all the radio money. But the television part, I think they kept them on there because at some point it's overkill. And also that means you're taking Ohio University off television, Temple off television. You're taking out. And these are all television slots that are all there. Because of the business of college football, I think they allowed that to stay.
Yeah, I know I've taken up a lot of your time. The other thing I thought about today, and I actually, this is one of the things that, you know, when they came down with the $60 million fine against Penn State and also the $13 million, actually, it lost revenue through the Big Ten Network.
That's the bowl game.
Right, so it's $73 million. I still wish they would have actually earmarked X amount, a percentage of that money to go to Jerry Sandusky's victims, in a sense, only because what happens is, the way they did it, the $60 million, I can see about 75% going to a bureaucrat to administer that money going to somewhere.
You make a very good point.
Well, I just thought, you know, let's say they already know who the Sandusky victims are because they stood up in court and testified against him. And they could have taken that was one of the reasons I thought that maybe if Penn State had a chance to negotiate some of this, they might have been able to get something like that into the caveat and say, geez, let's give these 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever the number is, X amount of dollars out of this $60 million, because who knows if they'll ever see a penny of that. That's just me thinking about it.
And Interesting point, Dick.
One more comment. Basically, okay. You can comment on this. I'm going to get off of here. I've been on too long. one of the things I still think is the amount of people. I don't realize that people realize how much other sports at Penn State are really dependent on that football revenue. Mm-hmm. And if it does go down, what's going to happen with those programs? I mean, recruiting, scholarships. Let's face it. There's a lot of money that goes to whatever. And I don't mean just the fencing team either.
Right. I mentioned that yesterday on the show, that the belt tightening would have to take place. But the fact that the $60 million can be doled out over 5 years eases that somewhat. But there's no doubt there will be belt tightening because the only other program that makes money is men's basketball.
Well, good luck, Steve. Keep the faith.
Dick, thanks so much. Appreciate your call. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, Lenape Solar Hotline. Shamokin's the next stop. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
hi, Tony.
The NCAA yesterday, they talked about, you know, resetting the football culture, academics, et cetera, right?
Yes.
Then one of the first things they do is say, but if you don't want to stay at Penn State, you can transfer to another school for football purposes.
Say that again, Tony. I'm sorry.
I said one of the first things they do is say you can transfer to another school for football purposes.
Right. Well, that's their way. That it's their way of saying, see, we care about the current players. We're not penalizing them. I mean, that's their out.
That's
right, and that's their out for people to say, well, look, you know, you're being unfair to them. You're penalizing people who had nothing to do with it. And they're saying, oh, no, we can let X go to USC if he wants.
So disrupt your academic career.
Sure.
Go to a new school, attempt to learn a new football system.
Oh, yeah.
And really, when you think about it, like, say, they're talking about Silas Red going to Southern Cal. You think there's guys at Southern Cal that don't want to be the starting tailback?
Well, Southern Cal already has a starting tailback. I mean, that's
exactly
something you have to remember. They already have one. But you know what? I want to say one quick thing about Bill O'Brien. If there's any coach in college football at this moment that is equipped to operate with a 65 scholarship limit, it is Bill O'Brien. You want to know why? Because the last 5 years he's been operating with 53 players and 27 on his side of the ball. He's already been operating with a unit that's less than... I mean, that's what he's used to operating with. So if anybody can operate with this, it's him.
I never thought of that.
That's why I'm here. This is why I'm here, Tony.
That's a good point. Oh, and one more thing. The first caller, he said something about Paterno going to the police. Mm. Wasn't Schultz the head of the University Park Police?
He is, yes.
And wasn't that who had jurisdiction?
Well, it falls under his jurisdiction as the vice president of whatever. It falls under his jurisdiction. The police chief reports to him, yes.
But the University Park Police have
yes.
jurisdiction on the campus. Okay.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
State College does not. State College Police right. does not have jurisdiction on the University Park campus. The University Park Police do.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your time.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Tony. We go from Tony in Shamokin, across town in Shamokin, to Brian. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And as you know, I've always talked to you with the late coach, and I met you at Penn State.
Yes, Brian, it's always a pleasure to talk with you and hear from you again.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it, buddy. And it's such a sad thing what happened to Penn State, but I know it's all we could do. We have to move on in life. Things happen for a reason, I guess, and don't get me wrong. He did win 400 games, and I saw most of them, too, so they're never going to take that away from me until the rest of my life.
Look, we all know what we saw.
Oh yeah, you better believe it.
Okay,
and,
I mean that's
yep.
I mean that you know they can play bureaucratic games all they want, but we know what we
saw.
That's
right, that's right. And you know you got to respect what people do, and you just have to move on in life. And the deal is, hey, 4 years before you know it, it'll be all over with, and then who knows? They'll be right back where they're going to be. They'll be back where they'll be again. I believe
well,
that.
If they can keep everybody in the fold, and that's an if, because, look, there's still, what, 9 more days of this to go through as the guys wanting, you know, may be in contact and this, that, and the other thing. If they
that's
can
right,
keep
man.
Them, if they can keep them together,
yep.
I'm telling you right now, Brian, this is going to be a
yep.
really good football team this year.
Oh, yeah. And Bill O'Brien, you know, I seen those workouts they did 4 in the morning. I wish I can get up 4 in the morning and go do the workout they do because
he thought I was insane.
Up, I'll tell you,
Brian. He thought I was insane. He said to me because I would show up for the 5:30 workouts.
Yeah.
He looked at me. He says, "What are you doing
yep.
here?" I said, "It's my job." And then he told me later. He
yeah.
told me back in April. I
yep.
sat down to do the halftime interview with him for the Blue White
mm-hmm.
game, and he says, "I just want to tell
yep.
you, I thought it was really neat you were there." I said, "Well,
yeah.
thanks. I'm glad you thought it was neat."
Yeah. And well, you know, I'm on Facebook too, and I saw Stan Kavitz said he's coming. He'll stay. He's staying on the team, and Jake Kiley, who's a freshman, he says he's still staying on. And hey, if the guys leave, they leave. That's their choice, you know. And what are you going to do? You can't stop them. They leave. They'll still be okay. That's my thing.
Well, there's an old Gene Hackman live from Hoosiers, right?
That's
the
right.
old Gene Hackman
right.
live from Hoosiers. My team
that's
is
right.
on the court. Well, guess
well,
what,
Bobby
Penn State
Bowden,
fans? That's
yeah.
your team on the field.
Yeah, and Bobby Bowden said last night that, you know, most of these teams are full already. Where are they going to go? They might not even play. You might as well stick it out. That's I would do it. In my opinion, I'd stay there.
Look, you're going to be on TV. You can showcase your skills to everybody on TV.
You better believe it.
And that was, to me, the most important thing that didn't happen yesterday was the one thing I was listening for. I knew the scholarship reduction was coming. I knew that the bowl thing was coming. All right, I knew the fine was coming. The only thing I was listening for was the TV ban, and when it didn't happen, I thought to myself, that gives Penn State a fighting chance.
I was surprised, too, because I thought they were going to ban the TV, too, but they didn't do it. And then one quick thing that I'm going to get going here. You know, the gentleman said there, why should we listen to TV? I always turn down the radio or stick it in my ear and listen to you guys on the radio because that's the best way to listen to it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, you better believe it. I think most of the people do that, too.
Well, I had to make a joke about Mark Emmert, who looked around the room and said, look, keep him on TV. He says, if they have to listen to Steve Jones and Jack Ham, I think those people have suffered enough.
If I come out to a Spikes game, maybe I'll see you before the season's over.
That'd be great, Brian.
I'll be at the Temple game. Maybe I'll get to see you say hi to you and Jack Ham again, and Jack can yell at me again and say, what are you doing here again? The last time I saw you was when it was freezing.
Well, I talked to Jack.
You have a great show.
Oh, thanks. I talked to Jack today, in fact. He's over at Toft Trees playing golf with some clients today. And the two of us have kept each other going, my friend. So we can't wait to see you, Brian, whenever you stop by.
You got it, buddy. You take care.
All right. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Lenape Solar Hotline is cooking. The lines are open now and a chance for us to take our first break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Time satisfying customers just like you all the time makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
At Comfort Specialists, they know that when you're comfortable, life is good. Outside, the birds are chirping. Inside, your heating and cooling system will be purring when you visit the pros at Comfort Specialists. With over 70 years combined experience, their factory-trained Comfort Specialists provide you with total heating and cooling comfort with superior equipment, installation, and service. They're a trained Comfort Specialist dealer, but they serve all makes, models, and brands. They specialize in high-efficiency central air and heat pump systems, including geothermal, furnaces, and air filtration. Fully insured, Comfort Specialists are knowledgeable, prompt, and reliable, and on call 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Residential or commercial, call your heating and cooling experts today at Comfort Specialists, 888-524-HVAC. That's 888-524-4822. Comfort Specialists, because when you're comfortable, life is good. Attorney General, Pennsylvania Contract Registration Number PA002058.
Your friends and neighbors are smiling after their single-visit dental restorations by Dr. Carl Jenkins.
He's taken care of the problems that I've had. I've had no pain. He's explained every procedure to me, and I've been nothing but satisfied.
I've been quite impressed. I've had a root canal, and I've had an onlay, and both have been the best dental procedures of my life. The dental hygienists at Dr. Jenkins' office are extremely friendly. They're very thorough.
I want the person who changed the oil in my car to be great at changing the oil in my car. I want the people who work on my teeth to be great to work on my teeth. I think the people here are great at what they do.
My first dental procedure was a root canal. That was about 3 months ago. I had no pain with the procedure, and I was able to eat on it that following afternoon. The bite and everything is great. Sarah Crowns are cool.
I couldn't be happier with the work that he's done.
In his 20th year of dentistry, Dr. Carl Jenkins in Watsontown. Visit us at smilesbyjenkins.com.
News Radio 1070 WKOK offers you more ways to stay informed with the news of the day. Follow News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter. Just visit WKOK.com and click on the Twitter link or go to your Twitter account and search WKOK 1070. Don't forget to check your Twitter settings and have all the WKOK tweets sent right to your mobile phone via text message. It's instant access to news, weather, sports, and business info. Just another way to keep you informed with News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back. Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, which, based on the number of calls we've been getting the last couple of days, you seem to know what the number is. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. You want to jump in and give me your comment, your questions, certain things you would like to know along the way, moving forward. Some of the comments from Bill O'Brien today. Bill O'Brien's made a lot of comments today. He is working right now. The part he did not count on from the NCAA was the part that allowed players to transfer right away. So that is the immediate concern that he has. He's had already two team meetings. He has called this a very tough, smart Penn State group of kids that care about the university and the football team. There's a lot of chemistry with the university and the coaching staff, and he says they'll find out exactly what they have when they start on August 6th. They have to make a change in their recruiting philosophy. He did talk about that today. Because of the numbers. But, again, the philosophy he brought from the NFL is not going to change. He's looking for high character, tough kids. He wants guys that are going to be good students along the way. And what he has, now look, remember, Bill O'Brien is built for the roster size he's going to have. And I have talked to him about this before. And I had mentioned this to him in the blue-white game. I did the blue-white interview with him. And I asked him point blank, I said, you are used to a roster that has 53 guys and I have 45, 46 active with the reserve quarterback. 46 active. You're used to working with 20... the 25 guys on offense, first and second teams. So that's what you're used to doing. I said, is it your intent to get to a base group of 60 guys going forward for camp and then the other people eventually being on foreign team? He says, that's exactly right. So roster size is the roster size he's using to, but they have to change their recruiting philosophy because he knows he can't have 85 guys. He can only have 65 along the way. But he is built for this. Because of what he's done the last 5 years, his NFL experience, and the numbers he works with to get ready for a game. Now, the margin of error is different because, the depth is different. Okay? The depth is different. All right, 1-800-795-9565. And we'll take one more break and come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Now is the time to save at BZ Motors' big summer clearance event. Now at BZ, save up to $5,000 off new 2012 Chrysler 200s and Chrysler Town & Country minivans. Or how about a new 2012 Jeep Compass for only $19,545? Or Jeep Patriot 4x4 for only $18,620? Both have automatic transmission. Plus, get at least $4,000 off any new 2012 Jeep Liberty. BZ wants you to keep on trucking with a new 2012 Ram 1500 Quad Cab 4x4 for under $25,000. Stop into BZ and see what all the critics are raving about. The all-new 2013 Dodge Dart with up to 39 highway miles per gallon now at BZ Motors. Now is the time to save during the big summer clearance event at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. All pricing after rebates and discounts. Some rebates may require a designated finance source or a qualified trade-in. Remember, nobody beats BZ, the dealership you can trust.
In the Central Susquehanna Valley, we have all kinds of ways to celebrate our people, history, and opportunities. The biggest celebrations once again coming to Sunbury. Sunbury River Festival 2012, August 16th through 18th. Over 100 booths with all of your favorite River Festival food. Three stages of live entertainment, car show, craft show, and much more. August 16th, join me, Sean Carey, for the Valley's Got Talent, sponsored by Service Electric Cablevision at the Shikellamy High Auditorium. New this year is poetry reading, yoga, and a salute to the Valley's recreational opportunities. Enjoy the exciting cardboard regatta August 18th at the amphitheater and themed train rides, too. For a full schedule, go to sunburyriverfestival.com. Special thanks to Wise Markets and the Degenstein Foundation, plus Northumberland National Bank, M&T Bank, Service Electric Cable Vision, and Susquehanna Bank, plus Sunbury Motors, Sara Lee Buttercrust, National Beef, Purdy Insurance Agency, Geisinger Health System, Kohl's Hardware, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation.
The Silver Moon Consignment Barn has moved to the Silver Moon Furniture Store and added 20,000 square feet for more inventory and better selection. Help them make it official during the grand opening now through the 31st. They'll be giving away 75 free $5 gift certificates, one $50 gift certificate, and one $100 gift certificate, no purchase necessary, drawing August 1st. Enjoy free refreshments and browse the bigger showroom for all kinds of merchandise. Now, right beside Silver Moon Furniture on Route 15 Lewisburg.
A good friend is someone you can count on, or in this case, someone you can save with. Introducing the Refer a Friend program from CATV Service together with Service Electric Cablevision, where you can earn $25 in cable cash for up to 5 new customers you get to have one or more services installed. CATV Service offers a wide variety of products and services that are truly worthy of being shared among friends, no matter what they choose to install. $25 in cable cash will be credited to your account. Call or visit catvservice.com for more details.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. I hope you enjoyed our budget update from State Representative Fred Keller today. Tomorrow, it is Bill Starr talking gardening and investments on the Mark on WKOK.
How do you know it's time for an eye exam? Many vision problems like glaucoma have no early warning signs. If you're over 40, remember, an eye doctor can see things you can't. For more on vision health, visit checkyearly.com. A message from the Vision Council of America and AARP.
Welcome back. We had a caller right before the break, did not want to go on the air, but I'll answer his question on the air. And that he asked, when did George Paterno die? George Paterno died in June 2002. I'd seen him in November 2001 was the last time I saw George. And then George had to be put into a care center and in the hospital here at State College in early 2002 and then died in June 2002. Chicago's the next stop at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Ferris. Thank you very much for your patience. We appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good day, Steve. Just heading into State College for the first time in many moons. I wonder what I'm going to see when I get there and feel when I get there. But what's more important, I guess, is what I think. And I think I heard Brent Musburger talking about the intrusion of the NCAA in a way that was very eloquent and seemed very well informed, pretty well educated. And did you hear that interview with Musburger?
I heard bits and pieces of it, but I'm not surprised. I've met Brent many, many times and found him to be very thoughtful and intelligent.
Well, it's nice to see some of that around. There hasn't been much of that. One of the best responses I saw was in the CDT opinion page when somebody said, nothing's more frightening than ignorance in action to do with the Sunday morning removal of that statue. So it's great to hear brains like Musburger applied to this thing. You know, there's a book that was written in 1987, published in 1987, by Alan Bloom. All the academic pinheads at Penn State have never heard of it, I'm sure, because it's a great book. And the title is called The Closing of the American Mind. And it is a book for the ages. And every year on the anniversary of the book's publishing, there are symposiums held around the world to do with this book. And I recommended reading it at this time when so many people are trying to figure out how we got so far off the beaten path on this great life that spanned, I think, 61 years coaching at that university.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to repeat, the book is called The Closing of the American Mind, and it's a difficult read, written by a genius from the University of Chicago named Alan Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, I'm sure there's something that I'd like to mention with regard to my admiration for a fellow that I met, had breakfast with in Hartford one time. His name is Franco Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And if he should happen to get kudos from everybody, that would be my